Every stone in the choir, there's a mark of respect to his father. is expressing the feelings this father wrote in here, why he was commandment. But now then, in this first epistle, these three epistles, the end and the top note, you might say, the object of the Son of God, not simply upon the cross, but after having displayed the hearts of grace we put, his glory down here, for God the Father meant it to be the Lord, rather. He says the Father then decided that there's all the one of him, that is the Father as God. He says, a time had come when under the Son of God took, not as a man, but he had a claim on my Thomas Dean, my Lord and my God. The whole creation, beloved brethren, and I accept that blessed man as being the living God. But that's not the mind that I have today. It's a simple fact, beloved brethren. If God brought this dear man of God to have his cup to run over, because if anyone doubts it, I say get actually wrong. All I say. Because it's quite clear that as this man has been tracing bit by bit the way that God brought in his judgments upon Abel, if you like, Pharaoh, and even Solomon's kingdom, for all these issues, beloved brethren, were not just simply for the sun. They were meant to destroy the opposition to the land. But it was that he might be glorified where he was being designed. And that's why he takes the great value of the judgments of God. These wonderful judgments, not only the mighty effect of removing evil, but given ground, beloved brethren, for the display of holiness and righteousness and goodness. And so then he said, there was along the same line, as it were, not only the judgment of David, might say, but he had Abraham in view. Abraham was a consequence of David, might say, of the great God of David. So the heavenly calling came. And then the Canaan was the consummation of the destruction of Pharaoh. And then when you come to Solomon's kingdom, it was to bring on the blessed God of your remnant, which will really form the nucleus for the bringing of this beautiful world to come. And there are many places where the judgment beloved brethren, but then what is it possible to see? He says, I see God's wisdom. He says, I see the wisdom of God. He says, I see the knowledge of God. Now, beloved brethren, I do believe it's in philosophy. The prayer of the apostle is that we might be filled with all spiritual wisdom of this man. That we might grow in a true knowledge of God. The importance of wisdom and the importance of the knowledge of God. It gives us the ability to the heart down here, beloved brethren, in the face of every foe. I'm not saying it's sufficient. There's a need of the priesthood and of the great leader. But nevertheless, having the mind of God and respect. Now, as you looked at the ways of God here, I mentioned it just now. What was he on God? He says, well, he says to view the cross. And to see a man hanging upon a wooden cross, who had proved by his might and his grace, he was different to any other man. And to see that man nailed to a cross, to all appearances, looked at God had been thwarted in the desires of his heart. He says, it looked like that. This is the argument. And I should say that the importance of the Roman epistle is, it's the gospel of God. I know it's concerning his son, but it's God's gospel. And so here it is, it's the will of God. But here, we're going to be taken right to God. It's right up to what the heart of Jesus has set himself upon. And so now, the remarkable thing, these ways of God. He says, when that cross was brought about, the Apostle Paul saw it. He says, everybody was locked up. Every human being in the world was locked up in unbelief. They were there, they were all in one platform. He says, what a remarkable thing the wisdom of God is. To think that the man hanging upon the cross was going to be the concluding of all evil. Evil will be concluded as a separate thing to be destroyed at that junction. Locked up in unbelief. But then, what was to do? It was to bring out the heart of God. That he might show mercy to all. Any beloved brethren were sitting here.
And did you ever think you were locked up? Did you ever think you were locked up?
I've had no thoughts about it. I was coming locked up and couldn't get out. Some people think they got out themselves. I don't know what you said. Grace brought me out. The grace of God brings a man out. But not only were you locked up in unbelief, you were locked up under the law. You were locked up in death. This is how Romans are quoting. Under the law of death. Absolutely, utterly locked up there. Every one of us. And here the wisdom of God. So how we display his mighty wisdom. I'm going to say his power. That's only one thing. The wisdom of God. How to show really that in the showing of mercy, which you and I sometimes think is a weak thing, is one of the most glorifying things that God can manifest to the creature, that he might have mercy upon all. And so know that having given these remarkable ways of God, he says, has the word of God failed? Because Israel's out of touch with God? Because Israel's no longer God's people? That's what the truth is, of course, here. No, I'm not. Now he says, oh, he says, it's in that very place. It's in the very place where looks as though God's purposes have failed concerning the nation of Israel. He says, it's going to be in that very place. God has got the proof of the that there is different. And that was one of the real effects, the ways of God. How God can bring his ways to fruition. Though there might be, you might say, breakdown on the way to them. And there's been many a breakdown down in your part of my part. But we'll be brought to perfection. You don't need to be alarmed, dear brethren, you'll be brought to perfection. And that's the thing that encourages my soul, as weak as my heart, and as weak as my affection in, I rely upon the mighty grace of God to bring about in me what really are the hindrance to in some respects. But nevertheless, here's the wonderful thing here. He says these wonderful ways of God. He says, what are the things to do with it? He says, the remarkable wisdom of the living God. Well, he says, what's it going to bring about? What Jesus wanted, what the Son of God wanted. You know what the rain to do? Do you think he's come to glorify himself simply? Is that what your brothers and speakers have wrote that? I have no doubt that he means to be honored. And it's the way that God will take it. But underlying a deep thing, beloved brethren, is the deep reality of the love of his heart to his Father. And there's going to be a time when God shall be all and in all. But now these last verses here in this beautiful Leviticus, I think it's a wonderful verse. I don't really, it's charmed me so much this last, it's been a day. It's been a day today in darkness when it's been miserable and cold. The Lord seems to, he sets his sun upon it, he makes it shine, his intention. You never get charmed with the intentions of your Father. Here it is here. Here's your Father's intentions. And look at the remarkable thing it says at the end of that chapter. I think it's beautiful. Don't you? He says, no. Who has first given to him? I suppose there's nobody assumption up here to think that it is God. You can't very well give when you're really bankrupt. That's what we have in the seventh group, a bankrupt. A bankrupt, you know. You say, well, only if it was 50 pence, you couldn't pay one. You're bankrupt. Oh, 500, you get that hard chance to bankrupt. But who's given it to the Lord? Only Jesus. Only Jesus. He gave the most thoroughly, kept nothing back. But now and then, and half given to him shall not be recompensed unto him again. Now then, this is a verse for all people. Praise be to God. This is what the kingdom is going to punish. This is the conclusion. The devil says, but it's not so. And he says, I already took the lead. That's the proof it's not so. The wisdom of God already decided the fact that we love the dragon. And God's knowledge about the way that they do it is deeper. And that they moved on the top of the world and prove his ability. And so here it is, for of him, and through him, and to him. This is a theme, this is perfect, isn't it? And to him. And this is what the Son of God will bring about. Yes, it is, I've been brought to God. Yes, it is by Jesus. You've been brought to God by Jesus. And everything you can stand in a kind of relationship with a living God, it bears stamp, as it says, he had everything up in Christ. In other words, everything that Christ touches, he has written in living unison with his own blessed heart. And so here it is, and to him are all things. And then when he realizes that, he forgets the seed of evil, with all his destruction, and all his opposition to the living God, as much as they say, they're not worth really considering. It's not worthwhile taking into consideration the enemy that's shaking his fist, or he's kicking his leg, or he's wagging his tail. He takes no notice of the enemy at all. He says, this is the God, he says, that saved the lost of him, and through him, and to him, and all things, and all will of the brethren. There's your heart. There's my heart. Joining with the apostle, when we think of his wonderful wisdom, and his wonderful judgments, and displaying his purposes at the last, and bringing into full effect. He says, be glory. Amen. Be glory. Brethren, it's going to come to pass. It's going to come to pass. And so that's why I read the beautiful 15th Corinthians. They were in a very sad state of Corinthians, weren't they? I wonder why the apostle didn't deal with the resurrection of the last. He never says anything in the first 14 chapters about it at all. In one sense, it was the most serious thing. This was the serious thing that raised its head. It was the most serious thing that raised its head in the Corinth. The dead didn't rise. So no resurrection of the dead. It didn't come from a fake secret. It didn't come from unbelievers. It came from the church. It came from. I'm not saying there were any believers, but it came from there. That's where it came from. Oh then, this is the wonderful wisdom of God again. Where the fear of the church comes in. The wisdom of the God comes in and sets forth his name. Oh, there is it. The stars, he says, the beautiful stars. He says the wisdom of God planted them. Not one alike. Not one alike. One star different from another star, glory. There they are. But two of the millions of them. And every one different. And so it will be in the kingdom. The Lord will like Christ, the Lord bear with individuality. We'll know each other in our individuality, beloved brethren. Moses and Elijah is more than the glory man. And here the remarkable thing he says, no then, Christ be not risen. He says, you're still in your sins. But he says, Christ is risen. He says, the bars of death have been broken asunder. And the devil's caves have been shattered. Hallelujah. They've gone forever. And the blessed man rose from the grave. And he went to heaven, and he says he'd become the first fruits of them that stepped. And then he did where we're all locked up. We were all, as an Adam, all died. There you are. That's the condition of sin. As an Adam, all died. Well then, is Christ risen? Those who are cast with him are alive. Even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Christ the first fruits. After them, those who are Christ. No unbelievers there. Those who are Christ, they'll be made alive. And then he says, there comes the end. Then comes the end. What's the end? The destruction of that which held the sheep. Which held the flock of God. That's where he met you and I in death and in judgment, beloved brethren. And that's what he's going to shatter forever. Hallelujah. And so now that he says, he must reign in your heart and my heart, beloved brethren. And I say to the Lord, fix the mind and cry out for the blessed condition of things that Christ might be, as we've heard, supreme. I trust he supreme in all affections, beloved brethren, every one of us. But the great thing about it is here, God's designed it. God's designed it. And God required it. And God will say to you when he brings it about, sit thou at my right hand until I make thy foes thy footstool. And then you tell him, tread him down with your feet. And that's where you have the end of the book of Revelation. That blessed man riding triumphantly on that beautiful white horse. The beautiful purity, too much for evil. And blessed be the God of our name. He comes with power and with great glory. And so here it is. He must reign till every enemy is put down. And when the last enemy is destroyed, what to do? No more to do. The world to come is going to pass away, beloved brethren. We're on the doorstep of new creation. It's blooming, blessed be his holy name. In Christ, as we said this afternoon, the body in Christ. That's the first thing there. Believers in the body, I will always be in Christ one day. Everything will be in Christ. And that's why I can hand it up to God. Nothing in Adam. It'll be all brought about, blessed be God. You see, the nation of Jews, yes. Not as the nation that will think, but they'll be in Christ. There be not such a thing, beloved brethren, in the new creation as a man outside of Christ. The stamp of God, the base mark upon earth, the whole creation, Christ will be the whole theme of it. But this is what the Son of God wants. He wants that one who was all the own with him when he was down here, a lowly man. He was all to him, I have set the Lord all this before me. He says, he said, my right hand, I will not be moved. The Lord is the portion of my cup. I have a goodly heritage. This was really the sentiments that he's going to produce in the whole creation, beloved brethren. Every heart will be filled with the great reality of the living God. And here, blessed be the dawn of a name. He's woven incessantly with one desire of heart, that the Blessed One will sustain them. He sojourned down here for his blessed Father. And as you've already heard, it was an extreme moment, blessed be the God of him, when he had to appeal to that Blessed One who had never disappointed. Why have you left me? Why have you forsaken me? It was a terrible thing to ask his own heart and to ask his God, but he's learned the secrets now. Like Joseph, isn't it like Joseph? He says, you meant it for evil, in my word, if the Jews, beloved brethren, ever meant a thing to be evil, it meant the destruction of the Son of God. But what did God mean? Hey, beloved brethren, what did God mean? He meant, beloved brethren, that it would shine out in a far greater way. How dear he had to be in the time of his deep tragic deprivation. If Joseph shone with the loosen of his coat and the loosen of his brethren's fellowship, and how beautiful and how wonderful he stood there in Egypt, and the supreme evil. He was able, in beauty and in love, to show mercy, like Jesus will in the day to come. Beloved brethren, who had Psalm 45 quoted, and blessed be his name. Right thou prosperity, what more of blessed and truth? Hallelujah. You carry forth, beloved brethren, we might say, win the day. And mind the battle will be fierce at the end. We'll get a grandstand view, but we'll not raise a finger. He doesn't need any help. He battled the forces at the cross, and he needed no help, and he got none. He looked up, and he got none. And so he says, I've trod, he says, the winepress alone. But blessed be the dawn of the name. You and I share the fruits of it. It's like him, isn't it? It's just like him. It says he should share a portion with the strong. His father gives him his heart's desire. And now just as beautiful little verse, we might say in Ephesians. We come from the now. We have no really allied with the church. I don't know the church is in Corinth, but we have it here, in this beautiful part here. Through the church, here it is, and through eternity, there will be a place for the church, I gather. If there is a nation that exists in the new creation, I think there still bears a stamp about the church of Christ, there will be that in eternity which will still leave the marks that the Blessed One is the bride of Christ. And soon it is that through the church, right through the eternity, there should be glory going up to him, God, who at that time has become all in all. Now then, does your heart not think and meditate, beloved brethren, about one of Mr. Darby's, and was there something that could? Mr. Darby's word, I don't know what to write, but one, he says, the new creations, stainless jars, leaving stoneless present room. Have you got a glimpse? Beloved brother, have you got a glimpse? You not look at the stars of this creation. Leave through this present room, that world of bliss, heavenly world is in bliss. Have you come to light of yourself? This world of bliss, without the light, brethren, the saints eternal. May God bless our hearts. Bless the nation.